Blog Talk Radio.
Hey everybody, welcome to another hour of Tribal Wisdom. I am your host, Cynthia Williamston, and I'm so happy to be back talking with you again for our final Wednesday of Men of Leadership. And happy Wedding Wednesday to everyone. Congratulations to all of the couples that were engaged this weekend. And of course, I want to send out special happy anniversaries to all of those who are celebrating. I want to send out a special thank you to Michael, Alyssa Mika, and Bill Roddy, who were my guests for the previous Wednesdays where we discussed leadership and men in leadership. They did such an awesome job, and if you missed those shows, I will be posting them up. They really set a few things straight. They gave me a lot of things to think about, and I'm sure they did the same for you. I also had the pleasure of sitting in for my sister friend, Miss Tiffany Denise of Bonfire Radio, last week, and I had the opportunity to interview social entrepreneur Mr. Shanduke McFadder about his company, Gangsters Making Astronomical Community Changes Incorporated. He is doing phenomenal work here in New York, changing around lives of a lot of youth, former gang members, and I can't wait to share that with you. I'll be sharing that on the blog as well as in the event. And I hope that each of you has had a chance to make your nominations for Men of Leadership, because every person that has been nominated will be posted on the blog next month so that you can find out more about all the phenomenal men that we don't know about. So look out for that and be ready to learn some wonderful, wonderful things. Tonight we are so blessed and honored and excited to be talking with the men of the tribe tonight, Donald Bell Jr. and Dwight Rousseau, on the same topic, men of leadership. We're going to be touching on a couple of things, and I hope that you guys are ready to glean some serious information, because we're going to be talking about leadership and being a husband, being a father, and so many other things. So these awesome men of God have something to share with you. I'm honored to have them on, as I said, and I can't wait for you to hear what they have to say to you. So why don't we just go ahead and bring them in. Hi, gentlemen.
Hello, Cynthia. How are you this evening?
Good, good. Please introduce yourselves.
Sure. My name is Dwight Rousseau. I'm out of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. And what I do is, as far as relationships concerned, I'm a relationship coach pertaining to marriage couples. I also mentor the men. And with my wife, along with my wife, we also do an 8-week facility class called Family Dynamics, just to help encourage the couples. Once they say I do, we want them to keep their vows and stay committed to their marriage, which when we say I do, a lot of us don't totally understand the meaning of the vows, where they're committing their vows to, which are unto the Lord, first and foremost. And we try to get them to understand that's where their vows are too. So when they break those vows, the vows are being broken unto God and not their wife more so.
All right, all right. And we have another guest on. Please introduce yourself, Mr. Bell.
Good evening. So glad to be with you, Sister Cynthia and Brother Dwight. My name is Donald Bell, Jr., currently residing in Manassas, Virginia, but we are in transition and heading back to Houston, Texas here in a few weeks. My lovely wife and I are the co-founders of Kingdom Success Ministries, where we do outreach efforts, and we also coach couples and share our experiences in marriage. We've been married for 14 years, and so we share our experiences and coach and mentor couples through, my wife has a group known as Wifeability, and I have an online group known as Iron Men, where we share experiences that we've experienced as a couple, tactics that we've learned along the way, sharing out of the Word of God, the principles and precepts of marriage, disproving myths in marriage, and just being transparent, learning, gleaning from our experience and gleaning from the experience of others. So excited about being a part, and thank you for having us on.
Absolutely, absolutely. So first, let me just tell my listeners, from what you've heard so far about these two phenomenal men, I don't want you to think that they're totally serious. Be prepared to smile tonight, because from what I know about them, they... I just want to be honest and prepare people. I don't want them to think that this is just going to be a straight, serious call. There's going to be some chuckles and giggles, y'all. So get ready. I am forewarning you. These guys are funny, very funny guys. They're very real.
I'll be on my best behavior tonight.
Yeah.
Well, listen, I didn't ask for that. So if that's what you want to do,
no crackerjack jokes tonight.
We'll see about that. And to all of our listeners, if you choose to call in, the telephone number is 347-996-3160. Press number 1 if you have a question or a comment for our guest tonight. And if you just want to listen, that's fine too. And for all of you who are listening via the internet, we are so very happy to have you as well. If you have any questions, feel free to inbox me or post them into the event, because we are going to get deep into this. Since this is the last day of the month, this topic will not end. I honestly believe the topic will not end, but tonight is the last Wednesday of the month where we're going to be discussing men of leadership. So, gentlemen,
yes.
I'm going to ask you, when you speak, just let people know, just say your name so that people will know who you are when you do talk about this subject. You've already introduced yourselves. We know where you are and where you're from and all the awesome things that you do. So let's jump right into the discussion about the principles and the elements of leadership. You are both men of leadership, and I can tell based on all the posts that your wives put up, they're always talking about you, you know, which says a lot. So can we talk about elements of leadership when it comes to leadership, men in leadership? What should we be looking for?
Well, I'll start off. Sorry about that. First of all,
and this is Dwight.
Can't believe. Yes. Sorry about that. Nothing. Yes, my name is Dwight Russo. First of all, you can't believe everything you hear from Facebook from the wives. You know, you cannot believe it. Sometimes they exaggerate. But we thank them anyway for just putting us on that pedestal at that time.
Okay.
Now, as far as elements, though, I look at it like this. There has to be confidence within a man.
Mm-hmm.
And the only way, because when you're leading from individuals, may it be from your job or your family, if you don't have confidence within yourself, people are not prone to follow you, because then you demonstrate a false confidence in which they see that. And once they see a lack of confidence in you, though, your believers who are following you will not believe or trust in your decision-making. Also, you have to be decisive.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as a leader, you must be willing to make decisions and stand behind your word. What you say must stay that way. It must be firm to what you say, which a lot of us as leaders, though, sometimes we go against the grain. We don't say what we mean, but we have to stand firm to the decision that's made. You have to have empathy, which is very important. It's very important because you have to have a foundation built. When people are following you, you have to be a caring individual for their human needs and their life struggles, and they have to know that you care about them.
Excellent.
That's what I'm going to touch on as far as elements. As far as leadership.
Excellent. Confidence, be decisive, and have empathy, and let other people understand that you care about what they're going through so that they can trust you. So that goes back to creating a safe space for people to be able to trust you with their issues, their everyday issues.
That's correct.
I love it.
And
Donald.
This is Donald. I would like to piggyback as well. I agree with all that my brother Dwight has said. Particularly with men, particularly in the spiritual arena, one of the key qualities that I look for and I try to exude is integrity. I grew up in an era where I had good role models that were old school. So if you were a man, you had to be a man of your word. You did what you said that you were going to do. So I think that is an important characteristic, particularly in the spiritual arena, is having integrity. And along with integrity, particularly with men, I look for leaders that are not afraid to share their personal experience or exude a level of transparency, particularly as men. We like to front, like we know it all, like we have it all together. You know, we've been there and done that. But it's good sometimes to have a leader say, hey, I don't know it all, or I didn't know it all, or this is what I did to fix it, or there was a time when my marriage wasn't so good. There was a time when my credit was jacked up. There was a time when, you know, I wasn't doing right by my kids, or whatever the situation may have been. But being transparent, that's a lot of times where we get that one-on-one connection where we can identify with another brother that's been there, where we can put down the facade, we can put down the machismo, or trying to front like we have it all together, and really, really share some experiences that will help each other grow. Because iron really does sharpen iron, but we have to have a level of transparency and feel comfortable in doing so.
Amen.
Yes, yes, I like that. Something that you said I definitely want to touch on, because I find it rare these days to really find men fellowshipping with brotherhood and teaching each other these things. When it comes to leadership training, you know, where can people go? Where can men, young men look to get some training and when it comes to leadership?
First and foremost, this is Don talking again. First and foremost, one of the things that I've had to understand, even though I had good examples in my life, I had to come to a certain level of maturity and growth within myself and realizing that I didn't know everything, but I believed in a God who does know everything. And so once I surrendered and began to study more about his word, then I began to learn more about myself and starting to cultivate some of the skills to be an effective leader. And then that put me in the company of other men that were on that same journey that I could share with at different times along the journey. So for me, I found the greatest level of training in my church fellowships. I've also been blessed to work in different professional organizations where I was able to get some professional mentoring from some older gentlemen that kind of took me under their wing and showed me the ropes. Professionally, I specialize in call center management and operations management, so I was blessed, you know, at an early age to have some older gentlemen to kind of take me under their wing and show me the ropes and kind of the do's and don'ts in business. But, you know, for some reason, you know, I believe it's a trick of the enemy, you know, where men don't talk enough and we don't share our experiences. We don't have enough brotherhood sessions. You know, the sisters, for some reason, you know, y'all don't have a problem getting together. Y'all will get together. Y'all will fellowship. But unless we're watching the Super Bowl or watching a game or something, it's kind of tough to get the brothers to come out and really, really talk about some real issues. But, you know, a lot of times in your church arenas, you know, you'll have a men's fellowship group or in different avenues where men can go and get some training and some development. But that individual man has to take a great level of ownership themselves. It's not just all about, you know, what the pastor teaches or what these other men are teaching, but they have to take some accountability and some ownership for themselves to read and increase your skills and improve your leadership skills from that aspect.
That is true. Now, to get back off of that, my name is Dwight again. Well, I went to Sharon Baptist Church for about 17 years, and it was a large group, large following there, about maybe 3,000 to 4,000 members there. We had a large men's group called Mighty Men of God, and that's where I started from. That's where my growth came from. Every Thursday we had a session for like 2 hours, so you go there. You're being transparent. You open this with the men there, and they also what they did was they booked you up to smaller like cell groups, which is though you became connected with individuals on a smaller level, and you felt more comfortable with that. So that grew and it grew, and it built confidence in yourself to be more open to these brothers. Which is when it comes to brothers, though, we are more so ashamed and afraid of things that we do as far as another man finding out what we've done. But deep down inside, we all have done the same thing, but we're not willing to share like the women are willing to share with each other. So we hide our feelings and our hurt and our pain inside.
How does that affect the ability of a leader? I mean, based on what you guys are saying, I mean, you have to have someone that you go to, that you talk to, that you can share these things with, that can kind of shore you up. And, I mean, it's okay to have your wife or your mom or a support system from a woman, but the importance of brotherhood and leadership, touch on that.
Well, as far as brotherhood and leadership, I think I was under two awesome pastors who are like my big brothers for the past 20-something years.
Mm-hmm.
So I always took under their wing. I was nurtured by them. I grew to be a follower of their, you know, their walk. Because it's not just about what you do, but, excuse me, it's not about what you say, but what do you do? Your actions speak louder than your words. Everyone can talk the talk, but they're not walking the walk. And these pastors walk the walk, and I wanted to walk that walk along with them, beside them, what they allowed me to do up until today. So anytime I have an issue, I can always go to them, no matter what it is, what time of the day, what time of the night. They're open for me. Their ears are there. And that's something that I really appreciate coming up, because all pastors are not open like that with certain individuals, because they have to keep a realm of protection over themselves, because people want to get in for the wrong reasons. And
yes.
My heart was pure when it came to me wanting to be in their circle, and they allowed me to be that part. And up until this day, they're like, wow, Dwight, you are more than we expected. You know, it's like they look at me in a certain way because I was open, I was honest, I wasn't afraid to be who I am.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't put on the front for them. I was who I am, and they accepted me the way I was. And from that point on, I just grew in the Lord as a result of them. And that's what we need today. And that's what we need today as far as mentors like that. But
mm-hmm.
there are not enough pastors to go around to mentor. And that's where so they have to be some type of training course or training session that the pastors or their leaders may be able to do to establish so that there can be individuals to train or put them under their leadership and under their wing and just take them.
Nice. So, I mean, well, I was just going to say that I love that there needs to be more knowledge of these things. I think that they do exist in some places, but I think, you know, more people need to know where to find them. And it sounds like, according to Donald, we need to plan like a leadership Super Bowl. Is that what we need to – I mean, do I need to, like, put the chips in the wings together and say we're having a leadership Super Bowl, please show up?
Well, yeah, you know, that's the thing that a lot of ministries are having to get creative when it comes to men, because we will fellowship around sporting events and that sort of thing, but then the
mm-hmm.
ministries have to be somewhat creative in intermingling the word or some sort of leadership training in the midst of whatever sporting event is going on. Because I think one of the things that we run into as men is because we've been taught by society to kind of keep up this facade of being strong or being or having it all together all the time, because when you show that you're vulnerable in a certain area, that means that you're weak and that you can be possibly taken advantage of in the street. And I think that comes into play sometimes in the church arena. We're afraid to let our guards down because we don't want to be judged. We don't want people to know our business or whatever. But we do overcome by the words of our testimony. Like we gain strength, and when we share, we'll be surprised to learn how many other brothers struggle with the same issues. Or, you know,
mm-hmm.
you aren't the only brother to, you know, have struggled with, you know, sex issues from the past. You're not the only brother to have had issues with alcohol or whatever the
yes.
case may be. So, you
yes.
know, a lot of times it's really you'll be surprised, you know, and that's one of the things that I try as a leader. One of the things that I found very, very good about all of the mentors that I've been able to serve under in ministry, you know, they were very transparent about, you know, their path and that sort of thing. So I try not to be judgmental when I'm dealing with other brothers and sharing my experiences, staying humble, making them feel at home. And so when I share and let them know, hey, you know, back in the day, you know, I could roll a blunt, you know, quicker and better than anybody else. And they're like, what? Dude, not Elder Don, no. Yes, me. I have not always been an elder. I was Big Don back in the day. So you know, when I share those experiences, then it levels the playing field, and it puts us all on the same level, because, you know, when it comes in the eyes of God, we're all at that same place. We're all striving for that that next level in God. So I think the more that we're able to do that, it makes us a better men, and then our wives are the benefactors of that, because as we become better men, we're better husbands, we're better fathers, better providers all around.
Excellent. Excellent. So since you mentioned about being a husband, about becoming and being a better husband, I definitely want to touch on the elevation, because I think that, you know, men in leadership, or a man becoming a leader, is totally different between a husband as a leader. I think you bring the same elements, and you can just correct me if I'm wrong, because I'm here to learn and listen. But I think that it kind of elevates you when you become a husband. So why don't we touch on that before we take a call, because I see that there are some people who are waiting to either have a comment or a question with you. So let's just touch on becoming a husband, the office of husband and leadership.
Well, this is Don. I definitely think that it definitely takes on a deeper meaning and a deeper level of accountability when you're a husband being a leader, because now you go from being a single man and just being responsible for your own well-being and your own actions to now being a husband, and you're now responsible not only for yourself but for the well-being of your wife and then subsequently your children and your household. So it's a greater level of accountability, because when I was single, if I made a mistake, I was the only one that suffered from that. But now, as a husband, if I make an error, now the whole household is subject to suffer, and so it takes on a deeper level of accountability. Unfortunately, some of our brothers don't always make that next step, and we still try to act like we're still single, and we don't have those same level of accountability. But we really do. You know, we can't hang with the boys all night. We can't, you know, we have as far as our finances go, you know, there are other priorities. We can't get rims and all that kind of stuff if the household isn't taken care of. And so it requires us to grow up quicker. It requires us to stretch outside of our comfort zone. It requires us to give way or let go of traditions or things that we may have dealt with growing up, because even though we may have all grown up in nice households, everything that happened in our household may not have been the right thing, or it may not be conducive to how you should act in your marriage, or whatever the case may be. So you've got to adjust based on your wife. Your wife may be drastically different from your mother. So, brothers, if any brothers are listening, don't you dare try to treat your wife in the same way that you treat your mother, because she's not that same individual.
That sounds dangerous. that sounds kind of dangerous. I've heard a
different level
about that.
Of accountability.
Yes, and prioritizing. I definitely like that you mentioned the word prioritize. When you move up to a different level of managing your family, you have to understand the ability to prioritize what has to be done for them. Dwight.
Yes. Okay. Let me make sure you were finished there. When it comes to me, as far as the importance of leadership when it comes to a husband, I sit back and I ponder this question. Now, I'm looking at three principles, though, that allow me, or the Bible speaks about leadership in that realm when it comes to your wife. And the first one was love. And it speaks about from Ephesians 5:25, when it says husbands ought to love your wives just as Christ loved the church. And regardless of how I still have to do my duties and lead my wife no matter what the situation is or how I feel about her that day. Because as a man, as a human being, our feelings change on a daily constant every day. Every day our feelings changes. I may not be the same way that I was yesterday. I may not feel like doing the things I need to do for her the day I did it before. But because God commands me to do it, I'm going to do it. And that's important, though. No matter how I feel, I must keep the commands of the Lord. And that's, like I said, to love my wife as Christ loved the church. And number two, I look at it like I need to lead my wife. And that goes back to Ephesians 5:23, for the husband is the head of the wife as Christ is the head of the church.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the responsibility that the Lord has given me, to lead my wife. And as a leader, we're going to make mistakes. our wife won't get upset with us if we don't do the right thing every now and then. But as I stated earlier, though, now in the same room, we have to stand firm to our decision, but we must think about the benefit of our wife when we make those decisions now, because like Donald said, it's not about us. It's about me. It's about us now as a whole. Mm-hmm. So whatever decisions I make, it's going to affect the household. So I have to be very careful and decisive and just seek the Lord for directions when it comes to that. And the last one is like wise women, they need to be listened to, which a lot of us don't do. Husbands need to hear our wives out. When they talk to us, we need to be just mindful of what they're saying. We don't have to say a word. That's not what they want. We don't have to offer no solution. Just listen and show them that we care. We're there for them, whatever the need may be. And those are three points that are important to me as far as being a husband and leadership role. You have to love your wife. You have to lead your wife. You have to listen to her. Those are three important keys that we have to base our marriage upon in leadership.
I love it. I hope the guys are listening.
You touched
Say that again,
on
Donald.
I was telling Brother Dwight, he touched on a key point, all the points were great, but particularly that last point about us listening to our wives, because we as men can be bullheaded, we can be stubborn, and because we've been given some delegated authority by God to lead the household, that does not mean that we know everything. And so we have to exercise wisdom. If my wife is stronger in a certain area, then I need to get some knowledge from her in a certain area in order for the household to benefit. I don't need to just, if my wife is more organized, and she is, so rather than me just trying to do everything and run everything, there's some things that she organizes so that the house can go forward. She still respects me as the head, but as the head, I'll say, hey, babe, I need your help or your assistance in doing such and doing this thing. Another area, sometimes as we're trying to communicate our vision, communicate the direction for the home, there are times when we just know. There are times when we don't have it all together. And it's important for us to ask our wives, honey, what do you think? How do you think we should approach this issue or this challenge? And I guarantee you, brothers, it has made all the world of difference in my marriage, those times when I've included my wife in the decision-making process. She still respects me, and the ultimate decision is still mine. But when I include her in the process, then it's our process and it's our project, and she backs me to the wall, with whatever decisions we make together, and we face our challenges together rather than me just being out there on my own.
Excellent.
Amen.
Excellent. I'm going to go ahead and bring in our caller to see what they have for you. I hope you guys are ready. You know you should have been ready if we were going to talk about this particular subject going. I guarantee you it's probably a lady, but let's just see.
I'm sure it is.
Caller, I'm going to bring you in. The last four digits are 1203. Please introduce yourself and go right ahead and have your say. You are on Tribal Wisdom. Hello.
Okay, you all lost the bet. This is our another brother.
Oh, no, we lost it.
What a surprise. I should have had some money on the table so I could have won something. This is Corey Rashawn.
Hey, Corey.
Good. How are you guys doing? I chimed in a little late, but just in time to hear some really great stuff. But I was actually going back. I had a comment going back to, I kind of forgot what it was now, but I think the stereotypes of men, because, one thing is all men are not equal. And I think in terms of loving and being a leader and finding certain types of men, men shouldn't really be categorized. With what all the brothers said just recently about marriage and being a head of the household, I'm not the type of man that agrees with what they said. For me, my partner will be the equal partner. My woman stands beside me, not behind me. Not in front of me, neither do I stand in front of her, because I respect her as an individual. We share different talents, and most of the women that I have dated have always been smarter than me because I like learning. Conversation. We've been stereotyped as men to believe things that people wanted to create for us. If we don't communicate well. Well, if we don't communicate well, then why are we writing books and becoming award-winning book writers, award-winning movie writers, award-winning negotiators? That's communication. I also think that, you know, they say men can't nurture, or then why are we in the kitchens cooking at major restaurants, feeding children and families on a daily basis? Men don't clean or don't have responsibilities in the house of cleaning these roles that they created. Men don't do that well. But we created the chemicals that create great cleaning products. So we have to be careful about how people define us and find our individual brand, for lack of a better word, as a man, and present yourself in a relationship, in a loving relationship, in a relationship with a woman with who we are, and define yourself as an individual and present that to the world. And I think that's what creates a great leader. For me, a leader is a listener more than a talker, because they learn from what they're listening in order to create the solution, in order to solve the problem. And you can do that in your household. You can do that in your relationships. You can do that in the relationships with your children. You can do that in the relationships with your church, with your community, and at your job. And so that was pretty much the comment I had.
All right. All right. I'm going to put you back on hold because I'm sure the gentleman has something to say about that. I know I have something to say about that, but since this show is not about me, you know, the way my show is set up, as Kevin would say it, you know, the way this show is set up, it's about the men. So I'm going to go ahead and bring the guys back in to make a comment on that. Donald and Dwight, yeah. Whoever wants to start?
Yes, this is Donald, yeah. Yeah, I definitely concur with what the brother was saying about how he is a partner in his relationship. And I think that is wise, because what works in one relationship may not work in your relationship, and you have to customize the way in which you lead based on your relationship. My wife and I are partners in our relationship, but in every area of our relationship, that's not always a 50-50 partnership. In some areas where she's stronger, it may be 80-20 in her favor, meaning she's stronger in that certain area. In some area, it may be 100% all in her favor because she's stronger in that area, but we get it done collectively together. You know, being effective listeners and listening to our spouses. Again, the brother touched on that along with what Brother Dwight mentioned earlier. You know, we can't listen enough. We do a lot of talking, but sometimes we don't listen. Sometimes we don't even listen to what we say ourselves. We don't listen to our own advice. We can give other men and other folks advice that we won't follow ourselves. So being effective listeners is definitely an added benefit. So thanks for the comment.
Dwight, sir?
Yes. Yes. Just to follow up on that. Excuse me. Boy, excuse me. 1 second. Just to follow up on what the gentleman said earlier, though, your point was well made, as Donald said, for your relationship. But when I got married 60 years ago, I mentioned to my wife for her to follow me as I follow Christ, because we are based on a Christian marriage. So if I'm not following Christ, I don't want my wife to follow me. And that's where my leadership role will come in at. So it's about not 50-50, it's about 100-100. When you put 50-50 in, you're not giving your all in a relationship. I want you to understand that. When you put 50 cents into your marriage, you're not giving your wife your all. You give your all by giving 100% of yourself, all of you, nothing less. And that's key. So hopefully you'll take that, what was just said, and just apply it into your marriage, and you'll see how far your marriage will go. Believe me. 100%, not 50. No marriage is based on 50% because you're not giving up yourself.
Nice.
I think it was a false statement by the world that says you're giving up 50-50, that equals up to 100. No, you have to give up your entire yourself for the marriage.
Excellent. I just wanted to also, you know, ask about what you guys thought about what he said about communications. I do agree with what he was saying that, you know, there are great orators, great communicators, great cooks, chefs, and so on. But I still happen to believe, as Donald says, that everyone doesn't have those talents to communicate well. So there are going to be some men who do not have the ability to communicate well and who will need some more shoring up, or, you know, some more confidence in that area, as well as the other areas that Corey mentioned.
I think Corey was very, very right about that. Communication is very key in any relationship, because without mm-hmm. communication, you can't expect to build upon it without communication. And mm-hmm. that's one of the issues with the, when I said the three elements, components as far as love, you have to love her, you have to listen to her, you have mm-hmm. to lead her. Now, if you don't listen to your wife, your communication skills are breaking down, which is going to allow your marriage to break down. So you have to communicate. It's key. It's important in a relationship, no matter how you look at it. That is key. Now, I really focus on what he said there. But, again, everybody here is totally different. Mm-hmm. We come from different backgrounds. Everyone that has the same communicating skills, but we strive for perfection. We may not get there, but as long as we strive to better ourselves, though, and that's all we have to, that's all we can do in this world. Try to be a better person for my wife, for my children, for God himself. That's all I can do, is try to be the better person and deal with what God has placed before me. And that's my wife, my grandchildren, and my daughter. To be the mm-hmm. best husband and father and grandfather I could be to them. Mm-hmm. And with that, it's an ongoing process of learning, trying to build on what you know. And I think great leaders doesn't just stop learning. They continue to learn and grow, and that's what you have to do as a leader, constantly. There's movement all the time. There's no standstill. You don't have time to stay still. Otherwise, you're going to lose and miss out on something.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm grateful that Corey did mention that we have to stop believing what other people are trying to teach us about us, and really moving forward and creating and showing exactly who we are. I definitely appreciate that comment, that we are living proof that men are good leaders, that there are excellent husbands who are leaders, and that there are excellent fathers as leaders. So on that subject, I would love for you to touch on the subject of leadership as a father and leaving a legacy of leadership to the next generation. Donald, why don't you start?
Yes, thank you. I am a father of two. I have a son who is 11, and I have a daughter who is 10. And it's funny because I can remember growing up, and I'd hear my father, you know, say different things or scold me for different things. And I say, you know, when I get to be a dad, I'm never going to say that. I'm never going to do that to my children. And I find myself doing the very same things. I find myself saying, I caught myself in the midst of disciplining my son, saying, oh, my God, I sound just like my dad.
Your father came out of your mouth.
I mean, literally, it's like I wanted to snatch it out, snatch it back before it went out. But it just went to show that what the principle he taught me at that particular time, it stuck, and it was the right thing. And now I'm trying to teach that into my children. And so I think that the role that we play as a parent, or being a leader as a parent, is one that we definitely have to take seriously. I think we nowadays think we enter into having children kind of haphazardly, and so as we're parenting, we don't really think about the long-lasting impacts our decisions, our actions can take on our children, and then more importantly, how we act in our marriages, how we conduct ourselves in our household, will then play a key role in how our children, or how our children will act in their homes. You know, I try to be very loving to both of my children. I try to be make sure that my daughter knows that she is valued and that she is beautiful, and so that she has high esteem. And that, you know, she doesn't see me talking down to her mother or calling her mother names or whatever, because that's forming her opinions on how a man ought to treat her. And subsequently, my son sees how I treat my wife. You know, he opens doors for her and helps with the grocery and does different things because he saw me do those types of things, and we're trying to instill those types of qualities in him as a man so that that will replicate in him when he's a husband and when he's a father. So I think that role of being a leader as a parent is paramount because so much of that is missing in American society. You know, we've gotten away from some really, really core values and core principles. You know, we didn't have as much crime and as many issues that we have plaguing society today when back in the day there were clear-cut rules and values in the home. The role of a parent extended outside of the home. So, you know, I remember I grew up in an extended church family. So if I was cutting up and I happened to be out of reach of my parents, there were other people who were empowered to check me on demand, you know, on the spot, and they could, you know, check that behavior in. So I'd get in trouble from that person, and then they'd tell my parents, and I'd get in trouble when I got home. We don't do that anymore. There's no more community, and we kind of need to get back to that. But that role of being a parent leader is so paramount today, and the legacy that we'll leave is that it will replicate on in the next generations to come.
Wonderful, wonderful. Dwight, I definitely want you to say something on this topic as well.
Okay, that's no problem, Cynthia. When it comes to being a leadership and as far as fatherhood, the thing to me is more important to a child is time put in with them. And as a father, you have to be able to teach your children and train them. And if you don't have the time to spend with them, you're not able to teach them and train them in the way they should grow up. Like, for instance, me growing up, I had so much freedom. Okay, now once I had a child, my wife put strict rules on my daughter. She's strict, but it was for a good cause, though, because, you know, as a parent, you want your child to have more than you had in life. You want them to have a better education. You want them to have the best things that you never received in life. And that's what we did with my daughter. And something that she said to me some years ago that really touched my heart. She said, "You know what, Dad? I want a husband just like you." And I just joke with her coming up. I always say, "You know what? I'm going to pick your husband out for you." I don't, honestly though, because I felt like she wasn't equipped to pick out a husband. And you know, it's like, okay, me being a father is more so being overprotective of her. And, and when it comes to leadership, that's what we are. We have to be protective of our children, who they're with, their surroundings. We want to make sure that we get to know her friends, their parents, because there are some crazy people out here in the world. And we allowed our children to go out there freely. We don't know what kind of trouble they may get into. So we have to spend or dictate our time with them. And as I look at it this way, I go to Matthew 6:21, when they say, "For where your treasures are, that's where your heart is." And as a father, I have to be there for her. I have to be open-minded. No matter what she wants to discuss with me, I have to be open and honest with her and let her know that no matter what you do, if it's wrong or right, I'm here for you, though. You have to be shy because I don't want you going out there to another man for questions when you got a dad right here for you. And if someone's going to actually honestly and someone is going to really be careful on your situation, whereas though you have other people that will take advantage of you, though, out in the street, and you should take advantage, but I'm not here to do that to you. I want you to feel secure and safe with me. And that's why I try to build around her. Now, it's different being a father to a daughter and a father to a son. As of now, I have two grandchildren. Boy, I have four in total, but I have two grandsons. And now I could be more open with them because they're boys, so I have to treat them differently than I treated my daughter. So I have to put on a different leadership hat when it comes to boys because it's so much trouble out here, and especially being an African-American boy. You know, like, for instance, my grandson, he's 11 years old, and he used to walk around with a comb in his hand, you know, combing his hair in the streets. So my thing was, look, Kyrie, I don't want you doing that out here in the streets because you never know. A cop may think there's something else in your hand or your back pocket. You know, they stop you. You're reaching for something, but it's only a comb. You don't want to get shot over a comb. So you have to teach these kids these because they don't know this. They just think it's okay. So every little thing, I try to teach my grandson those little details that are important in the world that could cost him his life. And we as fathers, though, have to do that, more of that. Because there's a lot of broken relationships out here today because there are no fathers in the homes. So a lot of mothers have to be the fathers, which they are unable to be. They try to be, but they can never be a father to a son.
Yes,
and
yes.
I thank God for allowing me to be here today, to be in my grandchildren's lives, so that I can help them grow and be the men they need to be.
Okay. Well, you know what? Go on.
You know, I could touch on a few more subjects about that, but, you know, I'm sure time is winding down. There's probably a few more other callers, so I'm going to stop right there for now.
No, I'm actually okay with it because everything that you're saying is there's so much truth behind it. And then, you know, I have a question because I know I am a daddy's girl. I'm a big daddy's girl. My dad has passed on many years now, but I am a daddy's girl. And I think you both mentioned protection, which is big. It's a biggie for me. I think that the principle of protection is missing when it comes to leadership. And I know I'm going to have to bring Corey back in because we actually had a conversation about this on Sunday. And as a girl child to my father was terribly overprotective. And, you know, I appreciated it. But I also, my experience with a father that's overprotective is that they protect us with, I don't want to say harshness, but we don't get enough information in the overprotectiveness so that we can learn to protect ourselves. We get so overly protected and isolated that we have learned as women, I personally believe, we begin to really isolate ourselves and we don't talk about certain things when it comes to men. And then it also kind of diminishes the level of respect that men have for us. You know, if I'm walking down the street and a gentleman asks me, hey, do you have a man? Do you have a boyfriend? And, you know, and I say, no, and keep walking, he feels like it's okay to continue to talk to me. Or if I say, listen, you should just leave me alone, he feels like he could still talk to me. Where if a man steps up and says, didn't she just tell you to leave her alone, then he'll walk away. So I have a big issue with that. So I'm going to bring Corey back in, and I would like for us to discuss the principles of protection and how information is more important for protection so that we don't, as women, we don't isolate ourselves or have to always have the man there to protect us, but we have his essence there. Because they know that I am his daughter, they should automatically know that when I say it, he doesn't have to be in my presence. They just say, okay, she said it, let me walk away. So, gentlemen, the principle of protection, let's talk about it.
This is Donald. I think that it is a great point that you bring up because I have a daughter and a son, and one of the things that we have to learn to do in parenting is communicate with each other as husband and wife in helping us balance each other when it comes to parenting the children because at times I could be somewhat harsh to my daughter because I don't understand some of the emotional things that she may be going through, and my wife helps me balance that out. So she knows daddy is her protector, but I'm not so overbearing. I'm working to create an atmosphere where she feels comfortable talking to me about issues or whatever, but she knows that daddy is there to protect her. I don't have to be at school all the time, you know, being her bodyguard, but the children at her school know who her father is, so they leave her alone. I'm a pretty big guy, so they're like, no, we won't leave Adriana alone. Her daddy is a big dude, so we're going to leave her alone. But she knows that, but she has a certain level of confidence within herself because she knows that her daddy has her back. So I think it is a delicate balance that we have to kind of a tightrope we have to walk between being protective but not being so overbearing, so wanting to shelter our particularly our daughters, so that because I grew up in an environment, I went to private school for a little bit, and the private school that I went to, primarily a Catholic school, and so they lived a very some of the parents were very very strict. And some of the children were very, very sheltered. So as soon as some of the young ladies graduated, or even some of the young men graduated and went off to college, they went buck wild because they had never had any experience or whatever, so they just lost it. And
yeah.
that's that thing I don't want to happen with my daughter or with my son. You know, we want to protect them and we want to help keep them from as much danger as possible, but we have to allow them to live a little bit. We have to allow them to make some choices and have some freedoms. I played with my daughter. I said, so, you know, I'm taking you to the prom. You know, you can't have a boyfriend, you know, and I joke with those things, but she knows that I'm joking, and she eventually, you know, somebody will be able to take her to the prom, perhaps, but I'm still going to the prom. Believe that.
Wait a minute.
Believe that.
The whole tone in your voice just changed. I'm like, hold on. You say that reluctantly. What is that?
I'm trying to convince myself. I'm trying to convince myself. It's a process. She's 10, so I got a little process. Y'all pray for me, but it's a balancing act that we have to play, particularly with fathers and their daughters. You know, we have to walk that fine line, and then my wife has to. We have to be careful to balance it when it comes to my son, because I can tend to be, you know, kind of, you know, men try to be somewhat hard with their sons, and so they can kind of grow up tough, and moms want to baby him a little bit, so if he falls and scrapes his knee, it's like, okay, he's all right, he'll be fine. And that sort of thing. So that's what we have to balance each other out when it comes to my son.
Yeah. This is Corey. I don't have children, but I have a partnership in raising my godson. So I know where the men thing is when you're raising a young man. But with him, and every weekend that I had him, we would have full conversations. He does have a sister, and I consider her my goddaughter. But the funny thing about my life is I've always been the protector of women from high school on. I was raised by a very strong black female who had sisters that were very strong black women. And they taught me from the get-go, and there's always been men around my life. I have uncles. My father has always been in my life. But it was the women that taught me how to be a man and how to treat a woman and what a woman wants. And growing up in junior high school and saying, you know, the guy really only wants you for one thing. You can tell. I gave the secrets. I didn't have a problem giving the secrets because the thing is I didn't want these women to be hurt. They were my friends. I went to church with them. You know, I know their families. So I've always been a compassionate man. And even till this day, I'm 47, I have women calling me for advice. But if I were to ever have a daughter, I always said, and I've watched my cousins raise their daughters, and I like one of my cousins used to do. He would go dress shopping with her. You have to date your daughters from the time that they're six all the way up until, you know, it's time to let them go and date other men. And say, you know what, if a brother's going to take you out, this is what he should be doing. He should be opening up the door. You mm-hmm. teach your daughters what a man does. I had a brother who used to abuse women like crazy, and his first child was a girl, and he lost it because he knew karma could be coming on to his child. I said, brother, that's what happens. If you go out and do the wrong thing to women, what do you think will come back to you? It's karma. So, you know, I've all, you know, and I guess it's, you know, like you said, you know, everybody's background is different. I've always respected the role of a woman. And so, you know, and you know, I told him, I was like, you're going to have to teach her what you know so that she doesn't fall to the prey that you created for yourself with the women that you dealt with, because he had a black book like it was no joke.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, dude, that's just wrong. Because how are you going to find your queen if you're treating everybody like a slut?
Ooh.
You know, you only draw into you what you put out. And so your reflection is. And then, as the Bible says, the sins fall on the child, right?
Mm-hmm.
So be careful what you do. So when you're raising your daughter, you raise her to be the queen that you want her to be. Let her know what type of men to avoid. And give her those secrets. Don't hold back. Share that information, because then we wouldn't have our young girls in the streets thinking that daddy, you know, quote unquote, what these guys want them to be called, are treating her in the most inappropriate way, and that's what love is. Whether you're an uncle, you know, a cousin, you know, let the girls know he's not treating you correctly. That's not how you're supposed to. You need to be respected a little bit more better than that. There's other men out there that are, you know, there's good guys.
I'm hoping that some toes were stepped on just then after you said all that. I'm really hoping that some people felt very uncomfortable with what both of you have said, because I agree it needs to be said. And I think, as I said, being a girl who had a very overprotective father, and actually in high school with 14 of my godbrothers, it was, you know, it was harder to navigate without the information. It's better to give us the information to learn how to protect ourselves so that we can continue to protect ourselves if you are unable to be there, and that your legacy is still there to protect us. Dwight, did you have something to say on this topic?
Well, for me, as far as protection when it comes to the daughter, as I grew up, I'm going to be honest with everybody here. See, I was more so a whoremonger. So the way I treated women out there in the world back then, in my, you know, before my B.C. days, you know, before Christ anyway, that's the old me. Old things haven't passed away. I'm a new creature now. So growing up, that's where I was. So when I had a daughter, as she got older, I tried to tell her these things, you know. As I grew up, the things I did, I don't want you to feel as though if you notice a man coming towards you, acting this way towards you, avoid him, because he may look nice, he may be handsome, dress well, but his morals are wrong. They're not pure, though. He wants you for the wrong reasons. And that's where I was. So that's one thing I brought up. I taught my daughter that, you know. And she laughed at me quite a few times, like, oh, you think you were this, you think you were that. But she got caught up like in that same realm, because she met someone who was nice looking, dressed nice. And the same way I treated women back then, he wound up treating her the same way. Like you said, it's karma.
Mm-hmm.
What I done came back to her, but I tried to protect her from that, though. But like you say, we can't protect our daughters 24/7. When they're out there in the streets and school, and I'm at work, I'm nowhere for her. She's on her own, because now she felt like her being so strict, that though, once, you know, when you're too strict on a child, when they get out there in the world, it's like it's freedom to them. And as parents, like I said, we have to balance ourselves more so than we think. We think we're balancing ourselves, but in actuality, though, we're keeping her clothes in, and once you get out there, she scatters. And I think that's what happened. So, and that's why I'm very careful now when it comes to my grandsons, and now especially my granddaughters, because I raised a daughter. And now with the experience, though, I know how to better handle and deal with my granddaughters now, so that they won't make the same mistakes that were made.
Mhm. Mhm. Wow. That's something. All of that is something. I definitely want to take the time just for a minute to thank all of those who are tweeting with us tonight, and thank you for all the retweets, IMU and Caitlin. You guys don't know, but you're giving the Twitter world a lot of excellent information. They are favoriting a lot of the things that you are saying, because it's needed. This conversation about how men become leaders, the elements of leadership, the principles of leadership, are so very important, and it's so very needed for people to listen to and to hear. And I'm grateful to all of you that came on the show tonight. If you can believe it, we only have a minute left. We've got like 60 minutes left on the show. And I want to thank each of you for coming on and sharing your wisdom on this topic. Guys, you there?
Thank you so much. The time went by so quick, and I was like, wow, we almost done. Wow.
It went by very
quickly, so I appreciate you having me on the show and giving me the opportunity to share. And thank you to the other brothers that were on and shared their knowledge as well. I learned a great deal this evening.
Listeners, if you're just tuning in, you were listening to Donald Bell Jr., Dwight Russo, and Corey Rashawn joined us tonight on this discussion on Men in Leadership. Dwight, were you going to say something? Did I interrupt you?
Well, I just want to say two quick points. First and foremost, I'd like to thank you, Cynthia, for just taking time out to present us on your show tonight, me and Brother Donald. It was an honor being here. And I want to make one quick point, because earlier you said it was about a leadership legacy that you want to leave. And if I had to leave a leadership legacy with anyone in my family, and I would ask them to honestly do follow me as I follow Christ, because we all know Christ came into the world so that we may have life, right, and have life more abundantly. So it's like there was a great multitude of people that followed Christ because he had something to offer them. And that's what I want to leave as a legacy for my family and generations to come, to just follow Christ. And, you know, the sky's the limit.
I love it. I love it. Why don't we just go ahead and lead off with that? Donald, what is the leadership legacy that you would like to leave?
Again, to piggyback on what my brother said, you know, I'm just an individual who is trying to be the best that I can be. I'm not a perfect individual, but I serve a perfect God. And so as long as I'm striving to be what he called me to be, then I will leave my children with the greatest legacy that I can, and that is the greatest example of what a man ought to be.
Awesome. Awesome. I can't wait to post that. Again, listeners, if you were just tuning in a little while ago, you are on Tribal Wisdom Chat about men in leadership. I'm so, so very grateful for my guests tonight. They really packed a punch. Corey stepped on a couple of toes. He let people know that you have to be careful how you are treating women, men as leaders. You have to be careful how you show your leadership for your daughters as well as for your sons. And if you are joining us again next week, I want you to know that First Wednesdays are our Couples in Business. So we will be interviewing with Dr. James Brown, MD, and Samaj Brown out of Flint, Detroit, or Flint, Michigan. They have started a business and actually a show and a television show about healthy eating that they bring to children and families called The Onion Revolt. I cannot wait to have them on and talk about why they started this, how they're changing healthy lifestyles for not just the youth but their parents as well, and how they have actually combined their love of music and theater to make this happen. So please join us next week for Couples in Business on First Wednesdays. We loved that you were on tonight. If you don't know, Bridal Tribe is a company about love, beauty, wedding, and marriage fun. We'd love to talk to you. We'd love to hear from you. Let us know what you think about our shows. Let us know what you think about the website. And we'd love to communicate with you. Sign up for our newsletters and our free downloads. And I look forward to listening and speaking with you again. Have a good night. We love you.